Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Fun debates with the top 20 list. And by the way, I want to thank Great Clips. Waddle's been talking about Great Clips for a long time. Great partner with us here at ESPN 1000. They've been implementing new safety measures and taking extra action to best serve you when you visit, from extra sanitation to contactless check-in. They're doing more to make your experience safer. So experience quality hair care at down-to-earth prices. Go to greatclips.com. Find one of their over 150 Chicagoland locations. Download the OnLoad check-in app to avoid the wait. Great Clips.
Going
to
be great.
$50 gift card on the line right now. You have to yell old-timey baseball man at Abdallah when he picks up the phone. Caller 20-332-3776, and you'll get a $50 gift card to Great Clips.
By the way, I just wanted to clear up something. I had a little bit of a mistake there. Johnny Evers only had 9 home runs as a Cub. Just wanted to make sure. I think you don't need to clarify that.
I think I said
12 to 9.
I just wanted to let you know, for accuracy's sake, he only had 9 as a Cub.
He was still in the era one of the best players. And in Cubs history, one of their best players. You want me just to ignore history? You guys just want me to cut it off? Where do you want me to cut it off? At 1969?
Well, Sylvie, is the Marquee Network rolling out documentaries about these two in the middle of the infield?
I think so, yes. I think when they do a historical outlook, and Mark Grace is talking about all that stuff. And
do you know what his
names.
I'm trying to figure out his war. Was 39.5. Probably pretty good, right?
Well, yeah. We'll look at, compare those to some of the other guys like Andre Dawson.
The only wars we were talking about then was the Great War, Tom. What are the Great War? There was no war back then. All we did was eat hot dogs and box ears and hit baseballs into the ground.
Why is there so much boxing of ears? By the way, I believe he was the MVP of the league with the Red Sox.
Hold on. Now we're talking.
Tinker was an OPS plus of 96. Come on now.
Is that good?
No, it's bad. Isn't average 100? Isn't 100?
Yes,
the
OPS plus is anything over 100. Is the percent above average that you are?
OPS my shoe is what it is.
Bleck, are you doing the top 20 socks list? When are you coming out with that?
No, I'm just. I've never heard.
Starting with Mike Soroka in 2001.
Johnny Evers is at 106 OPS plus.
I didn't know that people could become Hall of Famers with a 96 OPS plus. I didn't know that.
It is like, I've always said this, and people always get it misconstrued. Look at some of the quarterback numbers from the Hall of Famers. You will be shocked. I had an argument with a guy online one time when I said, compare Jay Cutler's numbers to Troy Aikman. Aikman was 50 times better the quarterback than Jay. But I'm just saying, if you're going numbers to numbers,
Jay has a better quarterback rating overall.
If you just say, here's player A versus player B. And the reason is because the game was always played differently in eras gone by.
I got you, right? Like, so it's launch angle now in sabermetrics. So I bet Tinker was a hell of a bunter, right?
You know it. They were right. Not like the Cubs last night when they were trying to bunt for hits in the middle of an inning while they were trailing.
Didn't they have 9 walks last night in the second game?
And yeah.
Then they took 9 walks. Like, there was a great article about their strikeout percentage, all these guys. But they're getting on base because they're also very good at taking walks.
That's what they do. They hit some home runs, they walk, and they strike out.
I think their home run totals aren't where you would hope they'd be, are they?
No, not yet. Right. Now, and that's because of their Javi and Bryant haven't done it. Did you see, though, Kyle Schwarber try to bunt 0-2 with the shift on? He struck out. Mm-hmm. Same inning, Ian Happ tried to bunt for a hit. And then I think that's when the big home run happened with Bodie, and it saved them all.
Not going to lie, I missed it. I was at dinner for my daughter. By the way, everyone at Chicago Cut wishes you well and said to say hello to you, Sylvie.
How was the experience? Because it seems like they're doing it right.
Fantastic. The outdoor area, the patio, was brilliant. We were right there on the rail. The food was great. The people are there. Everyone's happy. You wouldn't know that we were in the middle of a pandemic aside from people wearing masks going in and out.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Bill,
But everyone said to say hello, and everyone gave you wanted to give you.
And we love them there. We love Chicago Cut, and they've been great partners.
I did not hug David Flom as you asked me to.
That was probably a bad ask. Yeah, the elbow bump is in. I want to take Bill and Niles really quick and then get to my question about Chris Bryant talk some Cubs and Sox. Hey, Bill, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys, big fan of the show.
Thank you, Bill.
Still be strong.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, my question was how important do you guys think the O-line play is for a quarterback? Because when Foles was with the Eagles, they had the number one offensive line. And here with the Bears, I think they're number 30. Ranked the last few years, and how important, I mean, what do you guys rank the positions around the Bears quarterback the last few years? I think that affects a lot when it comes to quarterback play.
Bill, in 2018, I thought their offensive line played well, or not great, but I thought they played good. Okay, I'm not telling you over the top, but I think it was acceptable. It was, you know, average to slightly above average. Last year, I thought that they took a huge step back. I didn't think their offensive line played very well at all. And you're right. It doesn't matter if it's Mitch Trubisky or if it's Nick Foles. Whoever's standing behind that offensive line, A, needs time. More time than Mitch was given last year. And B, both of these guys need a running game. None of them, neither one of them can do it by themselves. So regardless, I think you make a great point, Bill, that the offensive line has to play an enormous role in their improvement overall on offense this year.
Yeah, that's my worry. I like Foles, but when you're playing behind a number one line, it's easier to play than when you're playing against with the Bears, you know, offensive line. So that's my worry with this season coming up.
Yeah, it's a good worry.
Yeah.
And Waddle hit it on the head with the Mitch bite about average, that this year with the Bears offense, we should want the starting quarterback to be average, we should want the line to be average, we should want their run game to be average, because all of those would be the tight end play average. All that, Waddle, they would all be an improvement over what they gave us last year in each department.
The one thing I would say is, on an individual basis, I don't want Allen Robinson to be average because
last year, wide receiver.
I'm saying, like, just in general, just so everybody understands what I'm saying here. Guys that are above average players, I want you to continue to be playing at a high level. Allen Robinson. There are others. I think Cody Whitehair is a guy that probably plays above average. Guys need to be, if you're above average, then maintain your level above average play. If you haven't been playing at an average level, you need to kick it up a notch and start, you know, be part of a group that is 16th in the league overall statistically. I think that's a fair ask.
Yes, that I think you're on to something, and I think we should print the T-shirts. Chris Bryant so far has not been average. He's off to a slump. As many people have pointed out to me, you look around baseball and you look at Yelich's numbers, and he's had a good August now, and he's been better. But still, they're not what you would think.
He looked awful early.
Yeah, awful early.
Yeah.
Better now. But there are a lot of stars, if you go up and down some of the baseball stars, who are struggling, mm-hmm. and you get off to a slow start. But if there was a guy who needed a quick start and, you know, to sort of pick a lane, I'm not and I will never be in the Chris Bryant sucks camp. I'm not in the Chris Bryant is even overrated camp. But I want to know what is properly rated. And right now, is there a tougher person to put, like, a stamp on as to who he is for his team than Chris Bryant?
I think it's a great question. I don't know. I don't know where to put him. Bleck and I were having this question or this conversation off the air either today or yesterday, I forget, about, you know, how many guys are there in Major League Baseball that are better than him? I mean, there was a time when you would have said top 15, right? Those days are probably gone. Is he top 25 now?
Not the way he's playing now. And again, it is still a small sample size. But all I'm saying is it seems these last few years, more things have gotten in the way of great production.
Yeah.
Like, he misses a lot of pitches that you just didn't think he would ever miss. You always thought he'd be steady, unaffected. And in a year where you need to make a decision as to what you do at the end of this year, whether you keep him, you trade him, you extend him, what do you do? I like it. It would be a a better debate if you could say, look, Chris Bryan is awesome. He's still young. He plays a solid third base, and he's one of the top 10 offensive players in the league. But he's not one of the top 10 players in the league anymore. So what do you do? What can you even get for him?
Take a guess where Chris was last year in terms of WAR. Last season, it played 147
National
games.
League or in all of baseball?
Just in all of baseball.
38th.
60th in WAR.
That's what I'm saying. Is that a guy that you're breaking the bank for?
Now, his decline in that category, and listen, would we agree that your WAR is probably the best overall evaluation
of a
player?
Yeah.
And the WAR has gone down. I mean, the graph, you know, the trend is not impressive. So, look, he's going to be, what, 29 next season when, you know...
You have to make a big decision because do you get something for him? Do you just ride him out in the last year? I mean, what is he? I mean, he is, like a lot of these Cubs, have failed so far in the leadoff position. Is that because he's leading off, or is that just because he's off to a slow start?
I'm not going to look at 2020 and make any decision that, but you're right. You go back to 19, and I just told you his WAR was 60th in the league. He hit 31 home runs, drove in 77. He hit .282 and was on base 38% of the time. His
they're
OPS
nice
was .903.
They're very nice numbers.
But
they're not superstar numbers.
They're not $300 million contract numbers.
Exactly. And what was it in 18? Like 17, he had a deceivingly good year where people said, wasn't that.
2018, remember, he was banged up. He only played in 102 games, and his WAR was 1.9. He only hit 13 home runs. He drove in 52. He hit .272. He was on base 37% of the time.
He's banged up again, Waddle.
Yeah. And 2017 was the year coming off of the MVP season where he was really good again. But since then, 18, 19, and now 20, the trend has not been his friend.
Right. So we're going on 2+ years of wondering, how good is he? I'm not trashing the guy. I'm not going to be one of these guys who is circling Chris Bryant like a vulture, saying that he sucks and he's not clutch and that he's overrated. I'm just saying I think this is one of the hardest formulas they have. With a lack of funds, with the production not, if anyone needed a quick start, it was him.
Right.
Where he could say, look, I'm healthy again, I'm great again, and this is why you need to keep me, no matter what. But the exact opposite is true. You know, while Hayward and Happ and Contreras and Rizzo getting on base and producing, they're all making great claims. We're circling him now, and we're saying, who is he?
Right.
And what is he?
I think Chris Bryan is an excellent defensive player. Maybe not a great one, but good. He's an excellent base runner. I'll put this in context for you as well. Because when you talk about Chris Bryant, aren't you, or prior to maybe the end of last year, he's in the Mookie Betts conversation, right? He's in the Bryce Harper conversation when you talk about what these guys should be paid. Is that fair, right?
In the first 3 years, you're saying?
Well, up until like the end of, the second half of last year, maybe even coming into this season. Like one of the questions is what is Chris Bryant going to be worth on the free agent market? I think everyone would have told you Mookie Betts is probably more valuable, but they're in the same conversation. Mm. Mookie Betts' WAR last year was 6.8. The year before that, it was 10.9. Like, since he's been an everyday player in 2015, his WAR has been 6, 9.6, 6.4, 10.9, 6.8. The moral of the story is you can't be asking for Mookie Betts cash.
You can't, no.
Because Mookie Betts has been a better player.
And they will. And in his first 3 years, he was can't miss.
And Mookie Betts is a year younger.
Right, but like Chris Bryant, Rookie of the Year. World Series, MVP in that year, 17 even off
yes.
of that. Still, like those first three numbers, Bryce Harper money.
Yes.
Now what do you do? It's so I don't know if there is a bigger puzzle right now. I know like we're talking about Mitch, but we know Mitch isn't that good. Chris Bryant has teased you with some years of being superstar.
I can't like. I've always said that I would pay Chris Bryant before I would pay Javi because Chris is still going to get on base 37% of the time, 38% of the time. I can't pay him the way that he wants to be paid. If I'm the Cubs, like, we can bark all we wanted at Tom Ricketts and his budget, but I mean, I wouldn't pay Chris Bryant $300 million in a contract.
No. 312-332-3776 if you want to react. Both teams playing tonight. And it's March Madness-like basketball going on. We had a March Madness upset to tell you about in playoff basketball. Plus, those dumb unwritten rules in baseball. It's all next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Don't forget, every single day, not only can you listen, but you can watch us on Twitch.tv. Check it out or download the Twitch app. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by Flo and Santos in the South Loop and our friends at Miller Lite. A lot of people interacting on Twitch. Always good to see familiar faces and new faces. So if you haven't checked it out, make sure you check that out, Twitch.tv. Follow us on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle, we had a March Madness-type upset in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I think there's some panic in Milwaukee Buckville.
The Magic beat Milwaukee 122-110, game one of their best-of-seven series. Now, they could certainly right the ship, still win 4-1, but that was not expected, and they controlled most of the game.
I was thinking, too, at one point about live betting the Bucks feeling they were going to come back and win.
And they didn't.
I
don't think Giannis had a good... Yeah, Giannis did not have a good fourth quarter.
That's one game. But the Bucks, weren't they struggling a little bit, Chris, at the, you know, towards the end of the pause?
I mean, the bubble, they were bad.
Yeah, they were. In the bubble as well. No, but Waddle's right. Before the season got stopped, before the pandemic started, they were starting to struggle. But it was one of those things where you kind of looked at it like, this team is so far ahead of everyone else.
Maybe they hit the pause.
Yeah, maybe they're just calacking it to the end of the season, and they know Giannis is going to get the MVP, and everything's kind of working out in their favor. But, yeah, they didn't look bad. Sylvia, you mentioned they started off the game poor. They were outscored 33-23 at the end of one. So they were playing from behind the entire game. Giannis had 31-17, 7 assists as well. The Magic were led by Vucevic with 35 points. They had 18 points off the bench from Ross. And Waddle, what we saw here on TV was like there were wide open Magic players just running free to the basket throughout the third and fourth quarter.
Wasn't a very disciplined approach by the Bucks down the stretch.
I still don't know if everyone's into this yet because you don't know when these teams are playing. Like, there's a game on now, Miami against Indiana. That's game one of their series. That should be good between Jimmy and Warren.
That's got some buzz to it.
16-14 right now, Heat over Indy. So there should be good matchups. The Dallas Clippers game was good yesterday. So they're sports. We're getting sports. We wanted sports for so long. Now we're almost getting sports overload.
Two things that happened in sports yesterday that had me my panties in a bunch.
Oh,
one was Porzingis getting booted. I mean, I thought that was silly. I thought that, you know, look, that's a perfect example of where an official has to use the discretion and suggest, hey, listen, you got one on you now. Calm down, big fella. I'm going to have to tee you up again and toss you. Like, no time
sense.
And place.
We went months without playing sports, and now you're going to make a guy miss a game over that?
Yes. And then the other thing was obviously the Tatis thing. Those two things had my
So you know me, you know, and I'm roided up. So yesterday, paint the picture. What was the score? It was the Padres were winning big. The bases were loaded against Texas.
Well, Tatis had hit a three-run home run to make it what, guys, 10-3? So then he came up to bat in the eighth, bases juiced. It's 10-3 at the time.
And it's three. It's a 3-0 count.
Yeah. And I guess the unwritten rule of baseball is that you don't swing at a 3-0 pitch when you're up by seven. That's a stupid rule, whoever put that into play.
And, of course, he hit the home run.
Yeah. I thought it was awesome.
It is.
Stupid.
Listen, we are playing baseball today with rules that are getting blown up all the time. Real rules. I watched the Cardinals be the home team at Wrigley Field last night. I watched a seven-inning baseball game twice. I've watched seven-inning baseball games on the South Side. I've watched the 10th inning start with a runner on second. Real rules in baseball are being broken. The written rules in baseball are being changed. These hard-ass managers who want to take all the fun out of it, if you don't want them to hit the ball, walk them. If you don't want them to try anymore and you concede that they beat you, forfeit the damn game.
Yeah.
But when a kid up there who is as good of a highlight as any player going right now in sports, and Lord knows baseball can use more of these players by the dozen, and you want to put a governor on him as the opponent manager.
Hey, how about if you don't want him to swing at a 3-0 pitch, throw him strikes before he gets to 3-0?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it's just all of it is so silly. Like, and you, get him. It's that was my point with football as well. You know what? Take a knee. Don't, but no, you don't want them to put a 50 burger on you. Stop somebody.
Yes. Yes.
This is professional sports. This isn't Little League where, you know, or how about this? Let's institute a mercy rule so we don't get there.
Yeah, you don't want Tatis hitting. Say, look, we give up. We quit.
Yeah, tap out.
We're down already. We don't want to play anymore. We quit. Johnny Bench, your guy, Waddle. Did you see him tweet?
Yeah.
Johnny Bench said, so you take a pitch. Now you're 3-1. Then the pitcher comes back with a great setup pitch. 3-2. Now you're ready to ground into a double play. Everyone should hit 3-0. Grand slams are a huge stat.
Not just that. Listen, Tatis is a guy. Continue to build his popularity. He may have some incentives in his contract for RBIs and home runs. Like, I mean, there is nothing, there's no excuse that you could give me to tell me that what he did violated anything of note. Like, that whole, the unwritten rule of baseball is...
They're all brutal.
Yeah.
They're all brutal. Did you see what Trevor Bauer tweeted? All
yeah,
the Reds coming.
Yeah.
He says, hey, Tatis Jr., listen up. One, keep swinging 3-0 if you want to, no matter what the game situation is.
It wasn't just the Rangers. It wasn't. Okay, go ahead. I mean,
two, keep hitting home runs, no matter what the situation is. Three, keep bringing energy and flash to baseball and making it fun. Four, the only thing you did wrong was apologize. Stop that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. For a sport that needs a boost, it's just, and the thing that got me maybe most was it wasn't only the Rangers manager. It was his own manager that basically kind of chastised him after the game as well in front of the press.
Well, what was he mad about? Because he did give him the take sign, right? Like that he blew off a take sign. It wasn't necessarily that he doesn't like him swinging with 3-0.
But why are you giving him a take sign?
He missed a sign. I don't know that either. Let him swag.
It was because they were going to play the game the right way. That's why. They had that sign on. See what I'm saying?
Get
so once again, you have the managers who are all trying to tell the players to play the game the right way, and when it's like they don't care for that. It's stupid.
Yeah. I love it all. I love it all. I like a touchdown pass when the Patriots are up big. Or Mahomes throwing it deep.
I've seen seven run. I know it's odd. I've seen a 7-run lead evaporate fairly quickly in the live ball era. Okay, where pitchers now, relief pitchers, there's different set of rules now because everyone's got to face three batters. Like, I wouldn't take anything for granted in baseball anymore.
You would think they'd be smart enough eventually to just drop this unwritten rule BS. That this thing's been going on for so long. I just don't get it. Bat flips and taking pitches and when you can bunt and when you can't bunt. And sure enough, they threw it at him, Waddle. Like, this is where I'm with you. Like, over that, like, the cheating stuff is why we had an argument about that. But that was in the 1% for me. Like, they threw at him at the next guy because he hit a home run.
Not good.
All right. Waddle's World is coming up. Stephen A. on the Bulls coaching search. We got a... go at Stephen A. a little bit regarding his take on the Bulls and if it's a good job or not. That's at 4, but the always entertaining Waddle's World is next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, let's get weird. Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends, our partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/find us. Member FDIC. We got some Cubs news for you.
Is it good or bad?
You guess.
It's probably someone out.
Yes.
Is Chris Bryant not in the lineup?
Oh, look at you. Wow. Were you
having wrist pain? Is that...
Oh, no. You said that with a bit of skepticism in your voice.
Well, I know it's...
What are you implying with your tone?
I'm frustrated.
With Chris?
I'm just frustrated that every year now it's been a knee or a shoulder or the wrist or a finger. I want him to go up and mash, okay? I like mashers. And I thought Chris Bryant was a masher, and... I get it. Guys get hurt. Guys are banged up. I'm not calling him soft. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I want him to start getting in a groove because they need him. That's it. I'm frustrated. Can I be frustrated?
Of course. Listen, you know me. I'm cool with you being frustrated about how your team is playing and individual players. Like, I got yelled at. I got verbally spanked by everyone for not being happy with the great Joey Votto start to the season in clutch moments. I know
he was
Joey
hitting
Votto,
like 3-something. No,
he wasn't hitting with runners in scoring position at the time in 3 clutch games.
Small sample size.
Yes. But I can still be pissed off the same way you could be pissed off about Chris Bryant.
All right, that's good. You sold me.
Thank you. Chicago Bears have issued a statement about fans at Soldier Field. Would you like to guess in what they said?
Yeah, I heard Abdallah and Black talk about this last night.
Okay, the Bears, Soldier Field's management partner, ASM Global, and the Chicago Park District have basically come to the conclusion that there won't be any fans at Soldier Field when the season starts. Health and safety of the city's residents and fans of the Bears will always take top priority. The team and city will continue to monitor the environment and believe there can be a sound plan in place to bring back fans to Soldier Field once it is deemed safe and appropriate. Until then, Bears home games will not include in-person fans.
How about this, Abdallah? Not only is the SEC planning on playing.
Yeah.
But in the wake of this story, Alabama is going to have 20% capacity for home games.
Roll Tide.
Damn right, Roll Tide.
By the way, Notre Dame's president is talking to the student body at 4 o'clock, I've seen.
Because their cases have gone up.
Well, Kansas City, the Chiefs also said yesterday that they're going to have
opening game.
About 20% capacity for their opening game. So it just depends on your state.
Sylvie, 20% capacity at Bama games? Isn't that what Saban's been raging about the last couple of years? Because the student body doesn't want to show up for these
right.
games?
The students aren't actually going to be allowed in these games. This is for season ticket holders only.
That's right.
So the
no students
section,
allowed.
Yeah, students going to be section's going to be empty.
It's going to be tough for Saban.
By the way, do you realize Governor DeWine of the state of Ohio ruled today that everything's cool? Go do what you need to do, kids. High school football's on. NFL football's on. No college football, but the high schools are rolling right along. Let's do this.
And then what did you say, the really quick thing, just to recapture the Notre Dame thing? The Notre Dame story is cases have gone way up since the kids have been back on school, on campus, like North Carolina.
Not surprised.
Right?
Not surprised.
But that's a story, right?
Yes.
The cases are going way up.
So the president is going to speak to the student body. That was what I read on Twitter. I could have been, you know, catfished on it. I don't know.
See, and this is where...
Is that
this,
the right term, catfished? Did I get catfished on Twitter? No, different?
Okay,
no,
I think you have to go more with the fake news there.
Fake news,
yeah,
okay.
It would be fake news.
It would be Twitter fake news,
yeah,
okay, if it was wrong.
So this is my theory, guys, is, you know, the Big Ten canceled the season and the Pac-12 followed suit. I feel as if, and when they made the decisions, we were all asking, like, what are the medicals... experts suggesting to why you're canceling now instead of pushing it off and finding out what's going
to
happen.
There's no transparency. Nobody would step to the microphone and talk.
So my theory has been they've been telling student bodies to return back to campus. And the reason why the football program of the conferences, Big Ten, Big 12, or Pac-12, have already canceled is because they know once students get to campus, they're going to have to shut it all down and send the kids back home anyway. You see what I'm saying?
It's all money. Follow the cash. Yeah. Because the reason why kids are going to college, think about it. We always look at it through the prism of sports and the billions of dollars that are at stake. Think about the average university to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, they are going to get more money because of tuition, room and board, and meal plans. Like, if you don't have those kids show up, you can't cash those checks.
Yeah.
And God forbid any of these schools with billion-dollar endowments would want to dip into those in times of need. Instead of doing that, we're just going to charge the consumer more. Bunch of jackasses.
What'd you think of this?
Cap right there, didn't I?
Yeah, especially using that word. Yeah. Did you guys see this? One college football reporter said yesterday, according to his source, one ACC president has been told by medical personnel that the best course moving forward is to have virtual classes with all non-student athletes moving off campus. So,
That's what North Carolina is doing. That's what Mac Brown said. About that.
Get them out and let the kids form their bubble. Let them form their bubble on campus.
He actually used the word bubble. He said this will be better for our bubble here at North Carolina.
This is what I've been talking about for weeks. You can create a bubble, a semi-bubble. You just have to rely on the discipline of these kids.
We'll call it the waddle bubble, the wubble.
By the way, did you all? I was reading you guys off the air. You can go back and look. I think the president of was either the AD or the president of Penn State was saying, I don't know about all these, these consensus votes. I didn't vote on anything.
Right. There's lots of confusion.
Yeah. And now I read you this story here that, Big Ten parents are set to visit the conference headquarters asking for answers. Randy Wade, the father of Ohio State defensive back Sean Wade, said he's planning to fly from his home in Florida on Friday to be at Big Ten headquarters in Rosemont and is expecting the parents of other football players in the conference to join him, hoping to learn why the Big Ten made the decision to postpone fall sports season as early as it did. Said he'd be willing to sign a waiver to allow his son to play. You're right. There's been a total lack of transparency. Like, if we're not going to play, here's all of our medical professionals, and they're going to tell you why. Take an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. Take all the time you need to sit there in a Zoom environment and tell people why you're canceling things. Makes sense to me, doesn't it?
Yep, absolutely. It's very confusing right now.
By the way, NBA playoffs are going on. We talked about this a little bit earlier. First game of the day was an upset. Orlando beats Milwaukee 122-110 right now. It's a street fight. Indiana and Miami are scrapping in. The Pacers have a 33-27 lead over the Heat. I saw Victor Oladipo got his eye scratched by Jimmy Butler. I believe Jimmy Butler then... No, he didn't do anything. I don't think he did it on purpose. But it was a little physical going on. Celtics, is he a forward or is he a guard? I don't know. But Gordon Hayward is expected to miss 4 weeks with an ankle injury. The Jazz is optimistic that Mike Conley can play in Game 3. He returned to the bubble Monday after leaving for the birth of his son a day earlier. Nick Chubb is put in concussion protocol by the Browns. Tom Flores. And Drew Pearson have been named finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Do you remember Drew Pearson, how down he was last year when he not get in?
He had the cameras on him.
Yes, and he just says, I give up, and I was glad to read that.
Yes. Major League Baseball has suspended the Rangers pitcher. His first name is Ian. I can't pronounce his last name. And the Rangers manager, Chris Woodward, for their actions against the Padres from last night. The pitcher threw at Manny Machado after the Grand Slam. It says Woodward has received a one-game suspension. And the other guy, the reliever, has gotten three games.
Bernstein.
No, it's Ian...
It's a Woodward and Bernstein joke.
Oh,
never mind. Move
good call. Well done, buddy.
Move on.
Well done. Good job.
Tim Anderson weighed in on this. Do you want to hear what Tim Anderson said?
Yeah.
Tim Anderson on Tatis Jr. He hit a grand slam. What are you apologizing for? The manager did not back him up, and that was weird. He plays with a lot of energy, and I like it. That's the way the game is going to change. And another thing, the game wasn't over.
I agree with Tim Anderson. Bravo, Tim Anderson. Coach K says the NCAA can't afford to lose another tournament. We need to have the tournament, Coach K said.
I hear they're going to probably do a bubble.
NCAA tournament cost the organization more than $375 million, the cancellation of this past tournament.
They've got to get one, yeah.
Coach Cal's also saying, hey, the bubble, you're right, has to be put in place. Reds and Royals have been postponed because the Reds are dirty. Sad news, Hockey Hall of Famer Dale Hawerchuk has died at the age of 57. So that's not good news. Alabama coach Nick Saban, opt-outs could turn spring football into JV. I've told you how I feel about the prospect of
spring football. Now.
That's really silly. When we come back, I'm going to bring you the nuttiest story of the day brought by our new partners at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors, it's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Love this tune. I love that song.
Me too.
The nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by our friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball, bound to get a little nutty. Screwball. I think that's fair. A night with Screwball, bound to get a little nutty. Okay, with that in mind. Okay, I'm going to read you the headlines first. Woman busted for nautical nastiness. What do you think when you hear that?
Scuba Steve.
Woman busted for nautical nastiness.
You're hooking up with Scuba Steve.
That's right.
That's what I think, yes.
Who's Scuba Steve?
Well, you just said nautical naughtiness, and the first thing that popped into my head was Scuba Steve from Big Daddy.
Big Daddy, the little Scuba Steve figurine in the bathtub.
I think about our conversation yesterday about going in lakes.
We had a good conversation with Mike Thomas about that today as well.
About going in the lake?
Yeah, we just can't
understand. Tell me he's never done it.
No. I think he admitted, I don't want to sell any secrets, I think he admitted to peeing in a lake, like we all did. Nobody was willing, and I trust everybody, nobody was telling you that anyone has dropped a deuce in the lake.
I think going number one in the lake or the ocean is acceptable, but I don't think going number one in somebody's pool is acceptable.
You know what, just to defy all of you guys, I came home last night from a great dinner at Chicago Cut. I took the cover off of my pool. I peed in my pool. I put the cover back on.
That's such a Waddle turd move.
Yeah.
Just to make a point. Look at my pool. They tell me I can't pee in a pool.
I'm going to pee in my pool whenever I want to.
The bathroom's over here. I know the bathroom's over here, and it's easier to go to the bathroom, but I'm going to take the cover off the pool.
Last time Sylvie was in my pool, this is where he was swimming, so I'm going to pee right here.
Let me guess. The moment you finished, you stood there with your hands on your hips, and you just took a look. Look at what you accomplished.
Look at
right?
That.
You took it in?
And then that dark blue ink stain came out that tells you when somebody's... No, I'm joking.
Same guy who washes his fruit is the same guy using his pool as a bathroom.
Woman busted for nautical nastiness. Here's what the cops had to say. A Floridian relieved herself from above on her dozing husband.
Ooh, gross.
In a novel bit of nautical nastiness. Remember... Brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball is bound to get a little nutty.
They got their money's worth.
In a novel bit of nautical nastiness, a Florida woman opened the port hatch of her boat and proceeded to urinate on her husband, who was asleep in the bed below, the police say.
Ooh, some people pay extra for that.
According to investigators, Heather Smith, 48... So she's no spring chicken here, okay? Like, she knows what she's doing.
What does that have to do with the story?
I think it's more likely that you'll get some sort of immature nonsense from someone that'll do this, not a 48-year-old woman of the world. Okay. Heather Smith and her spouse early yesterday got into a verbal altercation while on their cabin cruiser at sea near a small island about 10 miles northwest of Clearwater. About 1 a.m. Sunday, cops say, the 47-year-old victim was sleeping when Smith opened the front port hatch, located in the roof of the interior cabin bedroom, and then urinated on the victim from above.
There she blows!
When Smith's husband subsequently exited the cabin area, she allegedly bit him on the stomach.
Oh, boy, and a biting in there, too.
The victim, cops reported, had injuries.
Something you usually pay extra for.
Matched the story. When questioned by police, Smith reportedly admitted to biting and urinating on the victim.
Oh, boy.
Smith was arrested for domestic battery, a misdemeanor, and booked into the county jail around 4:40 a.m. She was released from custody today on her own recognizance, though a judge ordered her to be outfitted with an alcohol monitor. Smith, who will be
more than just an alcohol monitor,
who will be allowed contact with her husband, lives with her spouse in a waterfront condominium complete with boat slip.
I'd call a lawyer. Crazy. That is the nuttiest story of the day.
See-through public toilets have been installed in Tokyo parks.
Like see-through where the stuff goes? What?
One of Tokyo's most popular districts has recently added some unusual new attractions, transparent public toilets. Two sets of see-through restrooms have been installed in the area. It's a bustling center, famous for its busy pedestrian crossing. Though the restrooms are sound risque, they're actually part of an innovative project aimed at changing people's perceptions of public toilets.
I don't get it. What can you see?
There are two things we worry about when entering a public restroom, especially those located at a park. The first is cleanliness. The second is whether anyone is inside. So basically what they're saying to you is you don't have to go in and then like get on your hands and knees or look underneath to see if somebody's there.
But you see a shadow or something?
There are walls that allow you to see through the outside.
So the walls are clear, and when you lock the door, they
once
turn
a user
opaque.
Enters the toilet and locks the door, the walls turn opaque to provide privacy.
Okay, that's not bad.
I'm going to have those installed in my house.
Yeah, yeah. You got people busting in on your home when you want to go?
Maybe. Sometimes. Okay. You know what? I got other stuff, but I'm going to say
that's why he goes in the pool. It's like, if you are going to bust in anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to pee in the pool.
All right. You know us, guys. We are not Bulls homers, especially lately. But Stephen A. said the other day that the Bulls' job opening for the head coach is not a good position, and no one would want it. We will discuss that and debate that with Stephen A. Smith in just 2 minutes.